Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The song said, I'm safe thus far. I like that last part of one of those verses. It says, I do not know what lies ahead, but I have no doubt, nor fear, nor dread. I'll still be standing telling my story safe thus far. I'm glad for the safety and the security that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm going to preach for a little while tonight. I'll try not to hold you as long as I did last night. But I want to preach to you tonight. And I pray that the Lord will help us to understand that we are privileged people to be under the auspices of a wonderful Savior. You know, sometimes people get tired of preachers preaching to them and telling them how they ought to live. Well, one of my friends one time I was growing up, he said, I'm tired of mom and dad and everybody telling me what to do. He said, I'm joining the Marines. He joined the Marines. I said, how you doing? He said, man, I got more bosses now than I've ever had. Well, sometimes we think we get out from under something, but just to remain under the mercy of the Lord is a great privilege. In the 30th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, the Bible says in verse 1 of that chapter, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water, and they gave him a piece of a cake of figs, and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? And whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. I'm going to preach tonight on the man who changed masters, but I want to read one other verse of scripture in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 5. The Bible said, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I want to talk to you about the man who changed masters. First thing I want to talk to you about is loyalty. There is a lack of loyalty in this world. We're living in a world where it's hard to find someone that's really loyal. There's a lack of loyalty in marriages. If you don't believe that, read the statistics of the divorces and you'll soon see. There's a lack of loyalty in the workplace. Sometimes there's a lack of loyalty from the employee and a lack of loyalty from the employer. Also, there's a lack of loyalty in the church. Sometimes there's a lack of loyalty to the church and to the pastor. And sometimes there's a lack of loyalty of the pastor to the church. But no matter how many times or how much people are unfaithful, God is always faithful. I said God is always faithful. In our text tonight, David, his family and his men lived in a place called Ziklag. While David was out fighting in alliance with the Philistines and fighting under the rulership of Achaz, the king of the Philistines, while he was gone, the enemy invaded the city where they lived, Ziklag. The Amalekites came in and they burned the city with fire. They carried captive the women, the children, and all the cattle and all the belongings. And when David came back from the battle with his men, they found that the city had been burned with fire, and that his wife and the wives of his men and all of their children and all of their belongings were missing. So the Bible said, they wept until they had no more power to weep.
Yes.
That's all right to cry over your losses. We should cry over our losses. But you see, after a while, you've got to get your crying over with. Because you can never recover anything that's been taken away as long as you're crying. A lot of things have been taken away from the Holiness Church. And people sit around crying, weeping, talking about it, about what all is missing from the Holiness Church. But I'm going to tell you something. We will never get what the enemy has taken away and never recover what the enemy has taken away till we get our crying over with. Now, I want you to notice something about this particular situation. David was fighting in alliance with the Philistines. He should not have been down there. He was fleeing from Saul, and he joined alliance with one of the enemies. And when the Amalekites came in, there was no one there, no one home in the house of responsibility. No one there. This was something that was uncontested. While they were out winning battles other places, they left the home front unguarded. We've got to be careful in our pursuit of other victories, or we can lose right at home the things that are dearest to our hearts. So David, the Bible said they spake of stoning David as if it was his fault. And I like what David did. The Bible said he encouraged himself in the Lord. I appreciate men and women that I get encouragement from. I appreciate great men like Brother Prescott Sr. here. He's encouraged me several times. Brother Bill Prescott, Brother Yates, all these great preachers have encouraged me. Some of the good sisters, some of the good testimonies have encouraged me over and over again. But spiritual maturity is not when I have to have you to be encouraged, but when I learn to encourage myself in the Lord, then that is spiritual maturity. Some people are always leaning on others, but you must learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. So David did a wise thing. He called for Abiathar the high priest, and he had him to bring the ephod, and he inquired and said, shall we pursue after the enemy, or shall we forbear? And the Lord spoke and said, pursue after the enemy, and go, for thou shalt surely without fail recover all. So as David and his men were pursuing the enemy, going along, trying to find those that had taken their loved ones and all their belongings, they came to an Egyptian in the field. And this is where I want to start preaching to you. This man was in a coma. Now shake yourself a little bit, because I want to preach to you here. This man was in a coma, and they revived him with water, figs, and raisins. They found out for 3 days and 3 nights he'd eaten no bread nor drink any water. So they gave him water and they gave him food, and he revived. And when he revived, the first question that David asked him was, to whom belongest thou? Who do you belong to? What a question. Boy, that would be a good question for every one of us in this place and in the entire world. To whom do you belong to? Oh, yes, you belong to somebody. Yes, you do. Oh, you belong either to God, and you're in fellowship with God, or you belong to Satan. You may say, well, Brother Rich, I don't belong to God, neither do I belong to the devil. But oh yes, you are a servant to whom ye yield your members to serve. Oh, the Bible said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. You must make up your mind who you're going to serve. Oh yes, and even in the church sometimes, we don't know where people belong. I used to go to churches, visit places, and I said, well, they're members over here, and they're members over there, and these belong over here, they're members over there. But now people are like an old community dog. You know what a community dog is? You see him on one side of town one week, and then you see him over on the other side of town the next week, and then over on the other side the next week. And after a while, you don't see him at all. Somebody gets tired of that old community dog being out there running free, and they put some poison out for him. So you got to belong to somebody. And while I'm right here, I want to stop and tell you to get yourself into a Bible-believing church where the old-fashioned preacher preaches the word of God. Settle in there and stay with that church through thick and thin, and watch God bring victories in your life. Well, I'm hearing a few amens on that. Listen to me. Listen to me. Know ye not that ye, to whom ye yield your servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. This man was an Egyptian soldier, a servant of the Amalekite. His story has to be one of the saddest in the Old Testament Bible. Here it is, in my own words. He's telling David, he does not realize that David was over Ziklag, that they had invaded their city, and they had taken their children and their wives. And he says, my master and his army, which included me, we made an invasion against the south. And we came to Ziklag, and there we captured the city and burned it with fire. And he says, it was there that I risked my life for my master. I was loyal to my master. I put my life on the line for my master, but my master was not loyal to me. And as we was heading out across the burning sand, leaving with the spoil, leaving all of that burning city behind, trying to put as much distance between us and the enemy we knew would soon be coming, he said, I got sick. And I can hear him say, master, I'm sick. Slow down. I can't keep up. I'm hurting. I've got fever. Please slow down. My steps are slow. He said, then I fell. You know what my master did? He dumped me. My master left me to die. My relationship with my master depended on my performance. And when I could not perform anymore, when I couldn't keep up, my master left me to die. Hear me, his relationship with his master was predicated on his performance. Oh, hallelujah. This man says, when I could not go on, my master treated me like an animal with a broken leg, like a piece of merchandise. Now, that was that Amalekite's master. That was this Egyptian's master, the Amalekite. But let me tell you about my master. I have a master who said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I've got a master who, my relationship with him is not predicated on my performance, but on his faithfulness, on his love, and on his grace. And when I can't go on, he lifts me up, sick or well, in prosperity or poverty, in storm or in calm. My master is always there. Oh, hallelujah. If my relationship depended upon my performance, I would be lost. For sometimes I fail. I don't want to fail, but sometimes I fail. And sometimes I come up short. But you see, my relationship with my master is predicated on his love, on his mercy, on his faithfulness to me. Hear what I want to tell you tonight. My performance has nothing to do with my relationship with my master. It's my desire and my love for him and his love for me that keeps me going. Hear what I want to tell you. I was up in Richlands, Virginia, preaching a revival for Brother Ralph Horton. While I was there, my sister died. And so, naturally, they called me to come to the funeral. Brother Horton said, we don't want to shut the revival down. We want you to go and be in the funeral. Stay as long as you need to stay, but come back. And we're going to go right on with the revival. And you get back, you'll pick up right where you left off. So I started making preparations to go to my sister's funeral. There's only 1 year difference in our ages. She is 1 year older than me. She is the one that always beat me home when I got in trouble at school to tell my mom and daddy. I mean, we were real close to each other. We were close. And now she's gone. And so I wanted to make sure I was there in that funeral. Well, my daughter, my oldest daughter, Ramona, called me the morning that we were supposed to leave out real early. And she called me about 5 o'clock. We were to leave about 5:30 from Brother Cody Harmon's house. He was taking me to the airport. And she said, Daddy, please don't come on that flight today. So I had a terrible dream about you. And that flight, don't come. I said, I've got to come. It's my sister, and I want to be there. She said, well, I wish you wouldn't come. A little bit later, Brother Cody didn't know my sister had called. He walked in, and he said, Brother Richard, you're going on that flight today? I said, yes, I am. He said, well, I have some strange feelings about that flight. I said, well, let's go. I'm still going. So we got down to Tri-City Airport, down by Abingdon there, right below there, Tri-City Airport. It was stormy, and we got ready to board. A small plane was going to take us to Nashville, Tennessee, and then we were going to go from there in a large jet on into Oklahoma City. When we got on this plane, and I got seated, my seat assignment was next to a great big man bigger than me. He had just a leather vest on, had tattoos on his arms, and the one I could read so plainly said, Born to Lose. Boy, I kind of got next to me. I sat down. Another one said, Mother, I love you. On the other side, that was a little bit better. And I sat down beside this big man. He had long hair, a big beard. And I thought, Lord, I may have a chance to talk to this man about the Lord. But I've got to be careful how I talk to this guy. And then we started off. Plane took off. We hadn't been gone but a short while. And that plane began to pitch like a bucking bronc. And the first thing you know, people began to get sick. And finally, the plane was going this way, and the turbulence turned the plane that way. And the pilot came on the intercom and said, unbeknownst to us, we are in a tornado. up there in the air, a tornado. And he said, we're going to divert the flight and go to Chattanooga instead of Nashville. People were sick. I was up, we're not supposed to get up, but a woman in front of me was vomiting. I was trying to get this bag to her, and I was praying for people. I never dreamed that that big man would pray. I never dreamed that he would even think about God. But I noticed right in the midst of that big storm, whenever the co-pilot came out nauseated himself, had to go into the restroom, and thank God for older men. That pilot was an older man up there. I could see him up there. Had a hold of the controls. And this, don't know about quitting me there. Hallelujah. All right. Listen to me. Listen to me. This plane kept pitching, kept jumping. And I looked over this big old man. He was not an old man, but a big man. And he was saying, "Oh, God, help us, God. If you'll help us get down to the ground, I'd appreciate it. Oh, God, help us. Help us, God." Well, after we diverted the flight and started a different direction, it wasn't long till the flight smoothed out. People were sick. People were in hysteria. And when we landed there in Chattanooga Airport, ambulances were out there waiting on us. And whenever people got off the plane, some had to go in for medical checkups. When I got off the plane, I just as calm as I am right now. And I walked along beside this big old boy. And I said to him, I said, "I believe I heard you praying." Boy made him mad. He said, "You was praying too." I said, "I sure was. But I don't pray just when I'm in a storm, sir. I pray when the sun is shining bright, when the birds are singing in the trees. I pray when the sky is blue. Oh, yes, I do. I pray no matter how the day looks, storm or sunshine." I said, "You ought to consider giving your heart to the Lord." He has kept walking. Never would talk to me anymore. Just walked on out. But here's what I want to tell you. There's a lot of people out there, they want Jesus for their master whenever things are going bad. But when things are going smooth, they don't want nothing to do with God. They want the Lord to help officiate at their funerals, but they want to live however they want to live during the day and during the year, whenever. But listen to me, listen to me. This man walked out and American Airlines sent me back all of my money. I got a free trip out of that. I don't want to go through no more storms, but I got a free trip and was able to make it in to Oklahoma City in time. I've told you all of this to tell you that the Lord, my master, my savior, he wants me to be with him when things are going good. And if I'll stay with him when everything is going good, he'll stay with me when things are going bad. His faithfulness never changes. The Bible said his faithfulness reaches to the heavens. Jude said unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy. What I like about the Lord, if I turn down the wrong road, the master, my master, gets in front of me and he says, return unto me and I will return unto thee. When I come to the crossroads and I don't know which way to go, I hear a voice behind me saying, this is the way, walk therein. My master's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Don't you let the devil tell you, now fasten your seatbelts till I finish. Don't you let the devil tell you that if you fail, the Lord will leave you. Oh no, you can leave the Lord, yes. You can backslide, yes. You can even end up in hell, yes, after you've known the Lord. But all the way to hell, once the Lord has been your master, all the way to hell, he'll be calling you. He'll be dealing with your heart. He'll be trying to get you to return back to his saving grace. In our country, we had a great preacher, a son of a renowned preacher. He was a good preacher himself, and he backslid, left his wife, left his son, and went away. And he was a good preacher, but he just turned down the wrong road, started living wicked, terribly wicked. And his wife was telling me, so I want to tell you something, Brother Rich. She said, my husband told me, he didn't live with her anymore, but said he told me that I try to get away from God. Said I turn on the radio to get a worldly station. Lots of times there's a gospel song or some preacher on there. So he said he went one night to an area where nobody would know him, to go to a club, to get involved in a lot of deep sin. And when he got to this club, he drove around to the back, was going to come in the back entry. When he tried the back door, it was locked. So he walked around to the front. He said, told his wife, said, as I walked around to the front, said, across the street from the club, some young people's group was there, and a young man had a guitar strung over his shoulder, saying, when he reached down his hand for me. Hey, I'm telling you, once you have Jesus for your master, it's hard to get away from him. He'll keep dealing with you. Oh, I know backsliders try to act happy. They try to act like they're having a great time. But oh, deep down inside, there's a voice that keeps calling, saying, return unto me, son. Return unto me, daughter. Come back to where you belong. This is not where you belong. You belong in God's house. Oh, hallelujah. You see, the master, my master, if surely had been serving this Amalekite, this Egyptian's master, when she got so sick, she couldn't pray, she couldn't call on God, she couldn't do nothing as far as trying to intercede for herself. You know what would happen? That master would have went away and left her. But oh, Jesus, that faithful master, that faithful friend stood right by her side. No wonder David said, once I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. When I'm in trouble, my master says, call unto me and I will answer thee and shew unto thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You may be here tonight and you may have sinned. But the Bible said in 1 John 2:1, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. We have blood that we can come back to the throne of grace with. Oh yes, no wonder the writer said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Listen, listen, the Lord is waiting for the return of someone that's lost. I feel like there would be backsliders here tonight. I don't know who you are, but I was praying in the room of Brother Steve's up there this afternoon, and I felt like there'd be some backslider here that needed to hear my message tonight. You see, one sheep goes astray, and the Bible tells us that our faithful master will leave the 99 and go search and go look for that one lost sheep until he finds it. And when he finds it, he lays it upon his shoulder and says, calls his friends and neighbors and says, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. Somebody's looking for you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody's looking for you tonight. Hallelujah. In Ukraine, Brother Gene Thompson will be up this area before long, a few days. In the Ukraine, there's a man there by the name of Kabalinsky. Brother Kabalinsky is a pastor of a rather large church there. I think about 800 or 900 people. I've had the privilege of preaching there several times. Kabalinsky spent 18 years in Siberia in a communist prison. He was a large man when they apprehended him. The only crimes they had him charged with was preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and not registering his church with the government. 18 years. He went through all kinds of suffering. He had scars on his legs and I'm sure other parts of his body where they beat him with chains. They put him on the racks and electrified him, electrified racks, and tried to electrocute him so much and bring him down and tried to get him to deny his Lord and his God. 18 years, every day persecuted. When they released him, he got to come home to his family. After the fall of the Communist Party, I got to go there and preach for him in that church that he put back together. When I arrived at the airport in Zaporizhia, Ukraine, it was like 2:30 in the morning. It was 20 below zero. Snow was falling out of the sky. And they didn't have no tarmac to let you out on. You got out and walked across the airport, across the field, and come into the airport. Brother Kovalinsky was waiting there for us. Whenever we got in his old truck and went to his house, we was in his house there, and it was around 3 o'clock in the morning. We were getting ready to go to bed, and he told my interpreter, said, "Tell Brother Rich to take off his shoes." I'm looking around at the house. I thought, "Man, I got a better house than this. And I don't take my shoes off when I come in my own house." But I started taking my shoes off. I didn't know what he wanted. Here he comes with a pan of water. And he says, "I want to wash the man of God's feet that's come so far to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to me." Later on, we preached in several nights and days, day and night services. Later on, he told his sister, said, "Go get my release papers from the prison and let Brother Vadim, as my interpreter, let him read them to Brother Rich." She went and got his release papers. And here's what he told me. 18 years I was there. Said, "Not one day did my Lord and Savior ever fail to let me feel his presence." That's the kind of master I like to have. When they brought out his papers, there's several things. I'll not go into all of it. But one main thing I want to bring out, it says, we find this man's religious convictions so deep-rooted, it is impossible for alteration. Oh, God. That's somebody that loves their master. That's somebody that loves their master, and their master loves him, and the master reinstated. Now, David says to this man, "Can you bring me down to this company? This Amalekite, can you bring me down to this company?" And this man says, "I will bring you to this company if you'll promise me two things. Number one, that you will not kill me yourself. And number two, that you will not deliver me back into the hands of my master." What he's saying, I don't want back in the hands of one that leaves me when I'm dying. He's saying, "I'm changing masters. Don't take me back to my old master. Oh, don't take me back there." Listen to me. What he's saying, I don't want to be back with the one that mistreated me and left me to die. And I want to tell you something, sinner and backslider, if you're here tonight, when your master gets through with you, he'll wring you out like an old dish rag, throw you aside, and leave you to die. But Jesus said, "I'll go with you all the way, even unto the end of the world." He is faithful. He says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." It's so good to know when my time comes to go, and I have to go if I do go by the way of death, and I step out into the unknown, my master will be there with his promise, with outstretched hands, and say, "I told you, I would never leave you nor forsake you." Oh, hallelujah. Now let me tell you this. I was preaching revival in Savannah, Georgia. Most of you have been there. A lot of you have. And Brother Butler's church, and now Brother Ryan Ralston's church. Brother Ralston had just taken that church. And I was preaching revival. One night I preached, and I gave the invitation. A few people came to pray at the altars for salvation. But I saw a man and a woman in the congregation. And I really felt like they needed the Lord. I walked back to talk to him about the Lord. And he said, "Well, sir, I don't want to come up that altar. I don't want to pray up there. I said, but you need to give your heart to the Lord. He said, yes. I said, what about your wife? He said, that's not my wife. He said, that's just my live-in friend. He said, I am married, but that's not my wife. And so I kept talking to him. I said, you need the Lord. Why don't you come and pray with us? And he said, I don't want to go up there, but I will pray here at my seat. So he knelt at his seat to pray. Some of the men come back there to pray with him. He prayed for a good while back there. Pretty soon he got up and he said, I believe I will go to the altar. And he come down to the altar and prayed a good long time at the altar. Finally he stood up. And I said, well, did you find what you're looking for? The Lord saving? He said, no. There's some things I've got to take care of outside. But he said, I'll be back tomorrow night. And I'm going to give my heart to the Lord. I said, sir, if you've got some things to take care of outside, get right with God first tonight. Then you go out and you can take care of things better out there once you're right with God. He said, no. And he wasn't dressed. He dressed pretty shabby. But that's all right. We always accept anybody at the altar, don't we? And he said, I'm going to be back though tomorrow night. And I'm going to get right with God. He walked out. Now, more than some folks did. He wouldn't stay with that woman that night. He went over to his parents. Found out later in the night. The next day, he went and bought him a new pair of slacks and a new shirt. Brought him back, laid him out on the bed. And the devil, the enemy of his soul, his master, sent this woman he was living with to the trailer where he was staying. At the same time, his wife came. And that big fight broke out, we understand. And a lot of trouble happened. It was going on in that place. And this man, the devil told him, there's no use. You can never get out of this trap. And he reaches over and takes a pistol and sends himself right into hell. That night was so sad in that service. A man in our altars one night and in hell the next night. He stayed with his old master one day too long. I said he stayed with his old master one day too long. The pastor reproved the people that night. He said, I noticed a lot of people visiting in the back. A lot of people wasn't concerned. Said, we would have known the plan that the devil had for this man. Said everybody would have been praying. But no, people were not concerned like they should be. And he went into hell. Here's what I want to tell you tonight. We heard some great testimonies from Brother Green and others. This brother here, how they've changed masters. Oh, how they've come out of sin. How the Lord had helped them. We heard those today. Well, let me tell you something. If you're here tonight and you're serving the devil, some of your backsliders at one time had the joy of the Lord in your heart.